In the past, the common view has been that if you live your life alone, without a partner, you're to be pitied, left on the shelf, no one wants you. But single-person households are on the rise, and those who are single and living alone are, in many cases, loving it. We've been talking about this in all sorts of different ways in Life Matters over the past few weeks, and now it's your turn to share your stories of the solo life. What are the pluses and the minuses of being single, and how do you navigate the world on your own? Love to hear from you on Facebook. We're at ABCRN Life Matters. Let's begin, though, by hearing from Amber Renee. She's a business coach, she's single, and she spent a bit of time learning to become comfortable with that. Hi, Amber.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thank you. Now, a few years ago, I think you had a realisation that you needed to address the way you felt about yourself. Tell us a bit about that.
So I came to a moment in my life where I had all of the external things aligned that we all think that we're supposed to have. I had the great business. I was very successful. I was traveling the globe. I was making lots of money. I was fit and healthy. And I looked in the mirror and realized that I didn't even particularly like the person staring back at me. And it wasn't a function of something external to me. It was a function of something that was going inside my own head. So my inner critic was telling myself very negative thoughts about myself every single day. And they were the similar kind of thoughts that a lot of women face, things like fear of being seen, fear of being heard, not wanting to be too shiny, not wanting to, you know, achieve too much. So I had a lot of these sort of internal fears and internal battles going on. And I realized that I really needed to do something about that.
Can I just ask you, at what age, and was this linked with not being partnered?
No, there was no relationship that triggered any of this. It was definitely a self-development journey, and it happened in my early 30s. So I sort of went on a bit of a journey, and at this point I'd already been 10 years in personal development. So I'd already gotten through a lot of work on myself. To realize that, hey, I still didn't even like myself as a human being, I realized that something was dramatically wrong there, because if I didn't like myself, how could I expect someone else to come in and do that job for me? So I ended up going on a bit of a journey and went really deep into just very basic practices of developing self-esteem and self-confidence and eventually self-acceptance and self-love.
And so, Amber, how has all that helped how you feel about being single, your single status?
Oh, it's completely transformed my single status, because now, back then I used to look on my Facebook feed and everyone was getting engaged and getting married, and I would have this sick feeling in my stomach. And now I look at people getting engaged and getting married, and I'm like, fantastic, congratulations, that's awesome for you. I have no desire to do that now. Maybe I'll have that desire later or not. You know, it's not something that is triggering for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you went as far, though, as buying yourself a ring, a wedding ring or an engagement ring or some kind of symbol?
That's correct. Yeah, it was a symbol of honouring the commitment that I'd made to myself. So after going on this journey, I eventually looked in the mirror one day and I realised that I really freaking loved the reflection staring back at me. And I thought, well, that is a really huge achievement for a woman to get to. So I wanted to honour that achievement. And in doing so, what seemed right at the time was to buy an engagement ring and to make a commitment to myself to always be responsible for my own happiness. And I think that's sort of the underlying message here, is that a lot of people expect that that other person is going to come in and complete them, or that other person is going to come in and make them happy, but I take full responsibility for doing those jobs in my own life.
So you're engaged to yourself.
Correct.
In Life Matters, we're talking about the single life, going solo. And if you have your own story about what's positive, perhaps what's negative too, of not having a permanent partner in your life, it'd be very nice to hear from you. If you're anywhere up or down the eastern side of the country or listening on the ABC Listen app, you can call us now on 1300 225 5576. That's the talkback number, 1300 225 5576, or you can post a comment on Facebook. Let's welcome now to Life Matters Mary Peakin, who's the CEO of Relationships Australia for the Canberra and Region Division. She's also single. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Amanda.
Now, the sort of social pressure to partner up that Amber sort of alluded to, I think, is it something that, in your experience, commonly causes people distress?
Yes. The short answer is yes. From my work over many years in helping people with relationships and family relationships, as well as my own personal experience, which now is having been divorced for 4 years after 27-year marriage and in my 60s when that happened. I think you could say there are many people, like as Amber has been saying, and perhaps more younger people who are increasingly, and perhaps more younger women who are embracing the concept of independence. Whereas people in my age group or older age groups, I did grow up surrounded by pressure to get married, have a partner, have a boyfriend at school. You know, the popular ones were the ones who had the boyfriends. And now there's all of the wonderful changes we've had about same-sex marriage and all the different types of relationships. I was thinking earlier about, you know, in the 50s we had a traditional model of family relationships. Currently that's loosened a lot to be different genders, different ages, different cultures, different races, couples and people in relationships with children, without children, families of origin, families of choice. So there's a lot more diversity about how people are choosing to be in relationships. I think that it's wonderful to speculate what the future will bring. Relationships of the future will, there is increasingly people living alone. Much of that is by choice. Much of that is not by choice. It wasn't my choice, I guess, to be divorced. And in the beginning, the trauma and misery of divorce for me was unexpected and very, very strong for a couple of years. And as the years have gone on, at the 4-year mark, I am embracing independence. That as soon as that word gets mentioned, I start thinking, I wonder if you could be in, you know, that kind of aim to be independent within a relationship. Mm. I guess that's probably the goal I'm looking for personally.
Yes. Well, listen, let's get some of your comments and calls now before we push on with this. Michael McKenzie, hello to you.
Yeah, hi, Amanda. Let's head to New South Wales. David, you've been single most of your life, I believe.
Me, you're talking to me now, are you?
I am talking to you, David.
Yeah, I grew up in England in the 50s, and I could have got married in the early 20s. I chose not to because I wanted to travel. And traveling when I was younger, I traveled all over the world and had girlfriends, had relationships, but no one living with me.
Right.
I was told by a woman once that I'd be hard to live with anyway.
Do you think she was right, David?
Probably, yeah, because I'm very independent, very, I like doing my own thing. I mean, I've shared houses with people, and I've had girlfriends stay, I've stayed with girlfriends on weekends, and I have short relationships, but
What's the downside, David? Is there a downside?
The downside, I suppose, is not having a companion to share a lot of things with. But there's not many downsides for me because I've always had good friends. I've always had women friends. And what I can't get personal, intimate, well, I suppose the sex occasionally could be a downside. You can't always get it when you want it.
David, do you mind asking if I ask you how old you are now?
I'm 75.
So you've spent most of your life solo and now you're 75. What are you thinking about for the remainder of your years? What are you thinking about
that? Well, I own a house in Wollombar. I do have a spare room and I rent it out for a very cheap rent. And I have someone, a young person, a young lady staying there. And she works most of the time. But part of the arrangement with her cheap rent is to help with the housework.
Mm-hmm.
And since I got osteoarthritis, I need someone to help out with the housework, and that's quite a good arrangement. So I'm still single, but I still have someone who's around if I need them.
All right. Good on you, David. Thank you. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Kerry now, who's in Melbourne. Now, you wanted to tell us about a friend of yours, Kerry.
Yeah, I went to a wedding in Vietnam for my friend who got married to himself.
To himself, right. Right,
yeah.
A solo marriage. What was that about and why?
Well, I think, he is single and he just wanted to, I think what the lady that you had on earlier sort of talked about.
Yes, Amber buying herself an engagement ring.
Yeah, and just make a commitment to himself that he wouldn't be... so self-critical and and sort of love himself, you know, despite whatever's happening. And it was honestly one of the most emotional weddings I've ever been to.
Was it? How many of you were there?
Probably about 40 or 50 people.
And what was said, Kerry? What was said in the ceremony?
Well, he had an MC who ran the wedding, and then he came out and sang. He's a very good singer, so he revealed himself on a balcony and sang from the balcony, and then came downstairs, and there was a sort of ceremony. And all of his close friends had written a little thing about him, and she read them out, and it was just really lovely. I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was a really worthwhile trip.
It sounds delightful, Kerry.
Kerry, one last question. Has he been faithful?
He's been very faithful, yeah.
Good. Excellent. Good to hear. Thank you so much for calling on that. If you'd like to take part in this and what it's like to consciously or sometimes unconsciously live a single life and how you've made peace with that and how you feel about that, we'd like to hear from you. 1300 225 576, 1300 225 576, if you live in New South Wales, Victoria, Tasmania and the ACT.
And Queensland.
And, no, because there's time difference.
Time differences.
No. Yeah. So if you live in Queensland and other parts of the country, then don't forget, you can always email us as well, lifematters@abc.net.au. Leanne.
Hello.
You're single now.
Yes.
How many times have you been engaged?
Oh, 3 times.
Okay. I'm sensing issues with commitment, Leanne.
Good pick up. Look, I did grow up in a household with a parents with a bit of a peculiar marriage, a bit of a love-hate thing. Very much in love at some stages and very much not. And I got a bit of a weird perspective from it. So probably still happy to venture down that path of it, maybe. I'm in my mid-50s now, but we'll wait and see. But very content on my own, very content.
And did you have some advice from your grandmother that's helped with all this?
I did. My nana was an absolute sweetie, and she got married very young at 17, as you did back then in the 30s. And my grandfather passed away when she was 60. And she lived singly, obviously, for 24 years before she passed. And her advice was amazing because she said to me, everyone is single at some point in their adult life. Mm-hmm. And so never think you're the odd one, because actually everyone will be. And I really loved that from her. And it was really good advice, never to feel like the odd bunny. Yeah, I really loved that from her.
That's nice. Yeah. Leanne, your grandma was right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, here in Life Matters, also joining us now is Michael Dalton. Michael's a cabaret performer in his mid-40s. Michael, tell us your story around being single.
I love it. I wouldn't want it any other way. And I was in a relationship for many years and everything was great until it wasn't. And then after that, I think I was a little bit bruised, as it were, and decided that life was better on my own. And I think that is it, isn't it? If you want to be on your own, then it's great. If you're not enjoying life on your own, then it can be miserable. But I loved what Amber said earlier as well. You make that choice and you sort yourself out. You've got to be right in the way that you are before you get together with somebody else, because that is not going to fix what's wrong with you or what you believe is wrong with you. I love living on my own. I love...
Yes, is it something you had to adjust to?
No.
No?
Mm-hmm. No, it was immediate, and I can spread eagle on that bed as much as I like, and there's no one in the bloody way. And I love that. I think that we mentioned about downsize was when you go away on holiday and it's nice and sunny and there, you have to go out and probably ask a random stranger to put some sun cream on your back because you don't want to burn. And,
well, that's a nice way to meet someone.
Well, it is, but it's a little bit confronting for some people. And, you know, and also I think sometimes when you go out for dinner,
are you
on your own is the first thing, you know, and yet, yeah, that, yes,
have you noticed any shift in that? Because I've certainly read at least that some restaurants are making sort of people eating, dining on their own feel more welcome and making more appropriate sort of spots for them.
I think it's all right anyway. It's back to that. You've got to just go in there and be confident with it. I think the beauty of having your iPhone really near you is great as well, because perhaps in the old days you might sit there and read a book or something. Now you can sort of while away hours on Facebook or whatever it is, and you know, or eat your dinner, which is another option, obviously. But I think it's just, I think when and if I'm ready to have a relationship, then, you know, my eyes will be more open. But I do like the fact that at the moment they're not completely shut to mm-hmm. it. And by the by, I think I know that lovely lady who rang in about her friend getting married in Vietnam.
In Vietnam?
Yes,
oh, really?
He's a mate of mine as well. And yeah. I was unable to make it to the wedding, but it sounds like it was amazing.
Sounds like it was, yeah.
Did you give him a present when he got home?
I am his present. Oh. He's a lovely, lovely guy. And no, I didn't. But we often go out buying each other wine, so that's good enough.
But sit at separate tables, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
We're
just
single.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Okay.
Mary Pekin, coming back to you from Relationships Australia. In your experience, how true is it that at least some of the things single people wouldn't be getting from a partner, they can get from other relationships in their lives?
I think that we are hardwired as human beings to connect. I've heard us described as herd animals, which I love that phrase. So literally our brain cells and all the chemicals in our body are set up to connect with other people. So the sorts of relationships you have at work, with your friends, with your family. I noticed Kerry was talking about at that wedding, there were 40 close friends sharing that event, and everybody was really moved and all their chemicals and brain cells were all firing together probably. I like mm-hmm. that idea. Yeah. So there is that wonderful richness of intense feelings you get.
That's friendship. Probably yes. affection. Yes. What about intimacy, touch, sex?
I loved it when David's comment about he's got companions and friends, he can have sexual relationships. He distinguished, I think I would have asked him some more questions about intimacy and how people get that intimacy. I mean, from my experience, there is a very special, unique relationship I had with the person I was married to that was deep and different to all the other wonderful connections I had. And maybe I'll find that without in the future. I still hope for that. I yearn for that even. So for me, the downside is that kind of yearning feeling I have for that special, the feeling of being special to another person, deeply special and deeply intimate. Now, I've got fantastic friendships and work relationships, but they're not the same as that specialness. So and I accept all the things that people can have about how wonderful it is. And personally, and I think with some of the people that I've met over my years as a counsellor, that special, unique intimacy that is different to others is what I haven't given up hope for.
All right, let's go to some more calls now too here in Life Matters discussing the solo life. Suzanne is in Sydney. Suzanne, what are the downsides to single life for you?
Well, I said when I was first interviewed, you know, to get onto the show, that the only downside was if one is sick. But even that is not a downside for me, because I was recently incapacitated for a while, and I had wonderful friends who rallied around, and they provided far more support than any man, including my husband, has ever provided, or for that matter, my family. I'm 77 years old. I've lived alone since 1976, long before you were born, probably.
No. You're very kind, Suzanne. Very kind.
Not one of us.
Anyway, I had been married for 10 years at that time, and I left the marriage because I was lonelier when I was married than I've ever been since.
Well, that's an interesting comment. Mm. Yeah.
And it was anyway. So that was the best decision I ever made. I was in another relationship then, but I personally have never wanted to live with anyone after I left home. I didn't want to live with my husband, but in those days, you know, this living apart together was not on the horizon, and it was not financially feasible. Mm-hmm. But it may be, and then I was in a relationship until I turned about 41, living alone, but still in an intimate relationship. And then that relationship broke off, and for the first time in my life, there was no one else there. And that was lonely for about a year, but I had some psychotherapy, which was very, very effective for me. And I've been happily living alone ever since, and I've had a number of relationships, most recently, one sadly that did break down, but for 10 years he couldn't live with me because he had two children from previous marriages, and they didn't, anyway, it's a long story, yeah. I won't go into it.
Well,
I didn't want to live with him, but we did, of course, have an intimate relationship, very intimate relationship. And I have to say, sex is a lot better when they don't sleep in your bed.
Agreed.
It really preserves the excitement and it preserves the romance and excitement
and
in our
specialness.
Relationship.
Well,
it sounds,
Suzanne, like you've got it sorted, the single life, living alone, as well as having other people and intimacies in your life.
And 42 years going well. Frank, I might come to you now because, Frank, you've been single for 30 years.
Oh, yes, I have. And what I'm concerned about, the idea of singleness and living alone and all that sort of thing, that we see the rapidly growing number of single households.
Yes.
The side effect of that is a rapidly growing number of homeless women, older women.
That is actually, I think, a trend that sadly is quite prevalent across Australia.
Listening to the conversation there, unless you are single and reasonably well set up, sailing into the future can become a real hazard.
How's things for you, Frank? How are you going?
I'm a very active person, a very community active person, and I now live in a retirement community, and I'm very active within that community and have developed a lot of friends and in that community. But as I say, we all seem to overlook the consequences of these things, that we are going to head for a rapidly growing number of people, women particularly. Men, as I spoke on your program a week or so ago about the rapidly rising rate of suicide amongst over 85-year-old men.
Yes.
And the rapidly rising number of homelessness amongst women, these are the consequences that people don't see in the future. But as you move into that age bracket, I'm now well and truly into that age bracket, You look down the line, you see it, and in every community, I used to live in a booming community in the southwest in Sydney, and you can see this now. It's going to be gigantic, absolutely gigantic.
Frank, thank you so much for those reminders, because we do need to mention this in terms of solo lives, particularly for older people, and I do thank you again for calling. It's been
great. Can I just chime in there as a young woman who is obviously, according to Frank, heading in that situation? I should just remind Frank that in our generation, we are very empowered to earn our own money. So whether I was in a relationship or not, I would be paying my own bills, I would be buying my own house, I would be setting myself up for the future. In no way, shape or form would I ever rely on a man to pay for my future or ever expect for that to happen.
And let's now go to Kathy in Melbourne. Now, Kathy, for you, it's been safer to be single.
Well, I don't know if it's safer. It was a choice I made because I had two children and I didn't want anyone else to have an input or dictate how I would raise them. And I wanted to make all the decisions on my own. And I didn't want the added complication of having a relationship interfering with me and my children.
And that was because of a traumatic breakup?
Yes, so I was with their father. I was in a long-term relationship. We had two children. We were living quite comfortably. We had a house, he was running a good business. And unbeknown to me, he became an ice addict, started, taking money from the mortgage, from the school fees, and everything. And before I'd realised, it was drug dealers knocking on my door after I'd asked him to leave because of bad behaviour. Anyway, then we fast forward, 6 months later, and he's killed someone, so he's got a 30-year sentence. And I was left with pretty much without a home, without anyone, almost homeless. If I didn't have family, I would have been homeless.
Yeah.
So anyway, I've got back on my feet, and we fast forward 10 years, and still I've always thought that the hardest thing about being single is financial circumstances.
So yes. Particularly for you with children.
Yeah, but exactly. So for me, my income has to support three of us. Mm-hmm. And now they're approaching, now they're teenagers, so that's three people with mobile phones, computers for school, everything, all the expenses. I often think, geez, I'm probably, if I was to lose my job or something, I'd be 2 months off homelessness.
Yeah.
It's hard to be so precarious, Kathy. And look, it's obviously you've made the right decision personally, but as Frank also mentioned, sometimes financially being a single person has some long-term ramifications if you haven't built up a sort of a critical mass of finances before then, because perhaps you've been in a shared relationship. Jocelyn, you're single. How are things for you financially?
Not great. And I do admit that there was probably a 7 or 8 year stage of my life where I was one of that working poor, single, having to pay everything yourself,
right,
having a part-time job because my health, I couldn't do a full-time job. And you're just expected to sort of, do everything but you pay for absolutely everything. And financially, I live in a shared house at the moment. I'm in my 50s and I'm single.
Are you enjoying living in a shared house?
I love the people that I share the house with.
Don't worry, they're not listening. They're not listening. It's okay.
No. I've got the house myself at the moment. But financially, it's really tough. I can't do a lot of the jobs I used to be able to do, and I have a very low income at the moment. And for the future, yes, I have a little bit of a super, but I'm a pretty positive person, but I have no idea what my future looks like.
And were you single sort of in your younger years as well?
I've never been married. I've never had kids. I've been proposed to three times. Two of those partners, they only ever proposed when they were drunk. So that was a big no for me. And the third one, 6 months into our engagement, he turned around and said, I didn't really mean it. It's not what I want.
So when you were younger, just quickly, when you were younger as a single woman, how do you think you were perceived by the wider world?
And that's an interesting one too, because I'm not pretty. I've always looked very fit. And I realise a lot of people thought I might have been a lesbian.
Which, of course, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's not. But that was a really, I guess, after the third person said that to me, it was a real eye-opener for me, because it's like, well, how do I present myself to the world? And what is it about me that is projecting that I'm a lesbian when I'm absolutely not? And I have lesbian friends and I have gay friends and I love them to bits. But it was a bit of an eye-opener for me.
Well, Jocelyn, thank you very much for giving us a sort of 10-point bulletin of your life so far. And, hey, I hope it goes well into the future in that shared house. Thanks for calling.
Let's hear from Paul now, who's in New South Wales. Paul, how are you living your single life?
I'm living on the road in my caravan.
Yeah.
And, living the dream.
Is it the dream?
It actually is. I've got children spread all over the country, and so I can't spend time travelling around them and family. Mm-hmm. But I recently attended a gathering of single travellers at Mudgee, and there was nearly almost 400 of us.
All in caravans?
In caravans and motorhomes and camper vans and all of that sort of thing. And 60% of them were women who were travelling on their own. It was quite interesting talking to people, and there was this sort of a common thread, I felt. Which was that we've all, we're all in our 60s and 70s and into the 80s, and we've all lived our life being responsible for other people and having other people in our lives that we've had to make, you know, the decisions to do or not to do things, where at this time of our life, we're single, we're and we can go and do whatever we like, whenever we like.
Yeah, and free to do it. That's lovely. All right. Thanks, Paul. Mary Pekin, can I just come to you as someone from Relationships Australia? How do you coach someone who, I mean, we've heard a range of views of people who feel very happy and very comfortable about being single and others perhaps a little less so. How do you coach someone who feels unhappy or inadequate about being single?
Well, it's just a fantastic discussion, and the, all those the diversity of views. It's reminds me why I love this job and love working in relationships, because there is no blueprint. So that would be a starting point. I think the task, Amber's alluded to it, Michael's alluded to it. The task is to be yourself, be in love with yourself, if you want to put it that way, committed to yourself. Strong in what you want and how you express yourself, but how you stand up for yourself and go after what you want, live the dream, as Paul was just saying.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there's two. The other part is we are herd animals, and I think we have to have skills at connecting with the other. So to have that ability to also care about and respond to and meet the needs of the other people in our lives, a partner, friends, families, but in this kind of idea of a couple relationship, it is hard. I wrote down what David said right in the beginning. I'm hard to live with. Well, join the world of relationships. Yeah. All of us are hard to live with. So I think how I would coach someone, or how we talk, how as counsellors and all the people who work with relationships, we do talk about getting to feel good about yourself, speak up for yourself, be aware of yourself, and respond to the other, listen to the other, care about the other, which will mean you have to give in things for that you want to meet the needs of the other. Mm. And they will have to do the same to you. So this being hard to live with, it is a skill. And so it's both. Be good with yourself, be good with the other.
All right, wise words, Mary. Mary Pekin is the CEO, excuse me, of Relationships Australia for Canberra and Region. And also joining us in this discussion, Michael Dalton, who's a performer and cabaret host in Melbourne, and Amber Renee, who's a business coach in Sydney. Thank you to the three of you, and thank you for all your calls and comments too. Thanks. Cheers. On RN, this is Life Matters with Amanda Smith and Michael McKenzie. And you can still contribute to this conversation about being single on our Facebook page, or you can send an email to lifematters@abc.net.au.